I know that many of you come from some distance, and it's appreciated because I think we'll make this six-class session something you can take home and think about for a long time. Can you hear me well? No? Can you hear me now?
Better.
Not good. Why is that? What are we going to do about it? Is it all right? I want to dedicate this class to the Spirit of God in all of us. With a reminder that unless we are true to that Spirit, it cannot lift us, direct us, serve us, and establish God's kingdom on earth, which is its purpose. I'd like us all to feel the presence of God in this room, the presence of Christ, the presence of truth, and the assurance that when we leave this room, that same presence is always with us. That any time we forget the presence, we lose on what is always with us. And when we cultivate the knowledge, the recognition, and the assurance that the presence is always with us, there is something happens to you. Something takes you and lifts you out of what you call yourself. And it moves in you. And it directs you. And you feel the wonder of the light. And that is what we will try to develop today. The assurance that when we walk this earth, everything negative that happens to us is a lie that we can depend upon. And in time, we will learn that everything good that happens to us is an equal lie, the good and the bad. And in time, we will learn to walk between the good and the bad and find the divine, the real, the eternal, that which is ever with you. I know it is possible. I know many of us will do it, and it is our earnest hope that we can all share, not in a brief experience, but in a permanent assurance, a permanent way of life that is engendered during this class in a certain way, and that when it strikes us, we feel its presence, we feel it grow within us, and we never walk without it again. These things are said because they are true. Seven hundred years before the Master walked on earth, Isaiah made a prediction. His prediction was recorded. We read it in chapter 64. It is a very important prediction. It was probably the greatest word on earth up to that moment. Something that we, in our sense of humanhood, too often forget, and then Because it's forgotten, we don't know that we must believe it. We must know it. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad, rejoice forever in that which I created. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and our people a joy. Now, as you recall, this was prominently stated, but not from Isaiah, in the revelation of St. John. As a central character went up the ladder of spirit, he heard the voice say, "Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth." This was 700 years before. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall the serpent, shall be the serpent meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. 700 years later, it was a different picture on the earth. We find in Galilee the man who was the predicted, who would lift heaven and earth, was in dire straits. Hardly anyone knew him. Judaism was turned against him. Christianity was not yet in the world. There wasn't a single Christian. And they gave the people a choice between the man in the dungeon and Jesus, which shall we crucify? And the verdict was instantaneous. There wasn't a voice raised that we do not crucify Jesus. That was the human consciousness. They didn't know who Jesus was. He was just an upstart from Galilee, making lots of noise, they thought, making people uncomfortable. But they didn't know him then. And to our sense of truth, they don't know him now. Jesus was a mysterious figure, unknown to very few, although there were a few who did know him. He was selected. He was selected by the Father. And he was put into mortal appearance upon the earth. And he made statements about his appearance. In time he said, "I have overcome the world." No one knew what that meant. Before Abraham was, I am. Very few knew what that meant. I wonder how many of us know what that meant. I think you could say that you can separate the sheep from the goats maybe by that statement. When a man says, before Abraham was, I am, he's not saying that I am reincarnate. That is 1/100th of what he's saying. What he is saying is, I'm not what you see. You see a man called Jesus. Don't believe it. I am here on a mission. I'm called Jesus because I must appear before you with a name. And I'm to teach you, and you, and you, and every one of you who is aware of truth, who is yearning for truth, who is destined to live in truth. That my true name is not Jesus. And your true name is not the name that you give. This was the teaching. For I am Christ, and you are Christ. And though you know it not, at the start, you must learn that we are one. We are children of the Father. We are all the same I, Christ. In the visible world, there are many mortals. But I will train you. And when you make your transition into the higher realm, it won't be through death. It will be a transition made joyously with the understanding that you have earned the first step in the passage from mortality to divinity. And that step comes with the recognition that you are not yourself. You're not a man or woman of flesh. Not you will not become a man or woman of flesh, but you are not a man or woman of flesh at this moment. And I will teach you that you are not, he said. And you will learn that you and I are one being. Never divide God's garment, because there is one being. I, the Christ, am teaching the Christ that he is one being. We are all the one Christ. And until we learn that, we stumble in our mortality. We stumble in the way of fear, lack, limitation, all of it untrue, all because we do not know how to identify ourselves and to live as we are. We do not invite the spirit of our being to live through us. This is quite different than the world knows, the world which divides itself into this religion and that religion. Our only religion is the religion of truth which God placed upon the earth. We'll call it Christianity because it's the belief in the Christ, the knowledge that the Christian is yourself. You are that Christ. Before we leave this class, we may be shocked to discover that not only are we that Christ, but we will feel that knowledge. And we will try to keep that knowledge ever present, uppermost, and we will discover that that knowledge finally infiltrates the being, goes before you. It teaches you what nothing else can. It speaks to you. Finally, it lives you. And I mean that not for any one select person, but for all, because we are all that one Christ. And when we say we are Christians, we don't mean that we accept certain literature that comes down, that we subscribe to certain laws, or that we think of God a certain way. We mean that we are the Christ. And we learn how to live as the Christ. That is our bread, our wine, our water, our life. Isaiah said, a new heaven and a new earth. That was a complete departure from the old heaven and the old earth. But it wasn't for that day. It was a prediction. The Spirit was talking through Isaiah. It wasn't announcing anything that would happen that day. It was stating that Christ would be sent in the form of Jesus and would walk upon the earth. And Christ would teach everyone who aspired to true Christianity that his very nature had to be the living Christ. You could not be a Christian and not be the living Christ. It is not that you worship the Christ, you were the Christ. And maybe when we review this chapter in the Bible, maybe perhaps we find one here and one there who says to himself, I feel the nature that is being expressed as mine. At the time it was said, and the time it was enacted, 700 years later, there was no connection. Very few people could even relate to the truth of what was said. You could see that at the time because the Jewish mind at that time had no concept whatsoever of what Christ stood for. The Jewish concept at that time was in an external God. A God who laid down laws. Well, it was just, it seems like today we in this work look back and think of that as a sort of a prison. Everyone was held down. No one was lifted up. No one saw the light. And so the Hebrews of that day were trodden under. They were ruled by Rome. And the Romans of that day were no better. They had a material point of view. There was no knowledge of the divinity of being. And divinity was not on earth so that men could see it. And yet every Roman, as well as the people they were persecuting, was the invisible Christ. And that sounds strange perhaps to us, and it will until we are lifted from the cosmic illusion. We can't imagine a person being the Christ and yet acting in a way that was completely opposite to a Christ way of living. Murdering, robbing, plundering, all forms of iniquity. As the Roman developed this attitude and became the superior man in the world, the Hebrew became subservient. And everywhere you went, everyone was subservient to Rome. And yet 700 years before, Isaiah had seen the liberation from that subservience, which shows you that the spiritual event that happened with Isaiah was not recognized or understood by the public. It had nothing to do with the public. It was the advance notice given to those who had a degree of awareness that one day it would appear to men in a different light than it appeared that day. Now came one sent by the light, came the Christ who was not known as the Christ, was known as Jesus. He had a mother and a father. To all intents and purposes, he was just another man. But we see when he was 2 years old that the assassins were sent by the Sanhedrin, the reigning Hebrew body. And why couldn't they kill him? They killed every 2-year-old and 3-year-old they could find. Why couldn't they kill him? Couldn't they locate him? He was easy to locate. But he wasn't there. They couldn't find this lad. Why couldn't they find him? Because the Christ is not visible on earth. You have never seen the Christ. No one on this earth has seen the Christ. We've seen several who know they are the Christ, several who say they are the Christ, but they're in flesh. That's not Christ. Christ is incorporeal. And you're beginning to get an idea of the nature of the cosmic illusion. You're beginning to get an idea, though you do not feel it yet, that there is an incorporeal you, which is Christ, and a visible you, which wears the name of man or woman, human, and maybe even a visible you which knows I am not man or human, but you appear to be. You will learn that the invisible Christ of the Father is why you are called the Son of the Father. And it doesn't have to happen tomorrow or come about in the future. It is now. You will become aware of it in what is called the future. But it is the fact now. It could never happen later. And so if I know you, as the Christ, you will discover that I have stated the truth. And if you know your friend as the Christ, even though he's a robber or a thief or a murderer or a nice person, you will discover that all are the Christ beneath the surface of human reality. There never is a dead Christ. So there couldn't be a crucifixion of Christ. Christ is alive eternally, and so are you. And you will know it someday. You will realize it someday. And you will see why this book, although it's a mystery to most of the people of the earth, to you it will be an open book, not a mystery, a glorious revelation of your identity. You can't say some people are Christ and some are not. God has one child, and that is Christ. And that one is infinite. How can you be the infinite Christ? Because you're not what you appear to be. And we must learn that we're not what we appear to be, that we are the infinite Christ. And when you look at another person with that realization in your heart, in your soul, you will find that is the only protection you need in this world. You will find when the ultimate realization strikes you that your bread is provided, whatever you need is provided, your path is provided, and all you need do is hold to the truth that I am the invisible Christ, though I walk in a body of flesh. But you must have that truth in you, understood, in order to walk in it. It's not a truth you're going to borrow. It's a truth that will slowly become part of your being. And that's the value of our class this weekend. Each of us is to learn how to walk in a world that it seems to be mortal as an immortal, who is known to himself and herself as a living Christ. And everyone on earth, though unknown to you, is that same Christ. Every religion on earth is that same Christ. Every child, though the child be an infant, though it be an adult, it's in its late 80s and 90s, it's the same Christ in each case. The person is not the Christ. The Christ is a concealed being. And humanhood conceals Christianity, conceals the Christ of each individual. As you develop the capacity to feel it, to know it, you will find an exceptional release, somewhat unanticipated, and a bursting joy that you can't control. Because you'll see then that the Father must provide for his Son. The Christ must have everything the Father has, because the Christ is the Son. And the moment you let this doubt into your mind, how can I have all that the Father has? Look what I've got. It doesn't show up. Look at these bones that are tired. Look at this aching idea. Look at this over here that is a cold. Look at this that must be operated on. Look at these physical ailments that I've got. This economic disorder. Look at my family. This one has this and this one has that. But they don't, you see. They have it in your mind. That's the problem. And they have it in their mind. And you cannot face that with the denial. You must know. They can't have it, that's all. I know who they are. And you will find that the healing quality is in you when you are aware of the truth that you don't have a family of five and they're squabbling today, or a family of three and they're unhealthy, or some who are bad and some who are good and some who are incorrigible and some who are wonderful. No, you have everything in your family as you see it, but not as God sees it. We all have the perfect Christian family in every respect, far beyond anything we had dreamed that we could discover or broadcast. So when you know the truth, your lips will be sealed so tight because there's nothing you can tell anyone. Nobody would hear you. They would strive to hear you, but they cannot hear you. They must realize they are the Christ. And you will learn after a while that you can teach this to those near and dear, and they can teach it to those who are further away. Today, in the world, all the disruption that goes place in what was once Russia, all the disruption that goes place in Iraq, that's Christ over there. When we realize that's Christ there, Christ will appear to you in the invisible. And if you don't realize it, you'll have to suffer your karma. Because every recognition of any being on this earth who is not Christ is what produces karma. Every recognition that this one is different than this one, or better than this one, or worse than this one, is what produces karma. In a political year, karma is rampant. The Christ, appearing as Jesus, said, I have overcome the world. We didn't realize that was a statement of identity. We thought he was special. He had done something wonderful. He had been rewarded some way. But he was saying, I am the Christ. And the Christ has overcome the world. Don't get the mistake that Jesus has overcome the world. Christ has overcome the world. I am the Christ. So he said, I have overcome the world. To tell those who wanted to know, who were seeking to know, who were able to know, that this was the Christ of God, the Christ of themselves, that beneath the flesh of every one dwells the same Christ. Not an individual Christ, but the same self. Of course, that's beyond our capacity to see how a self can be all selves. But you're only in the fourth level of consciousness. When you're in the fifth, you become clarified. When you see countries who have become Christed, the miracle of God will become so vast that this world that we live in not only has no reality, but it's just a puff of smoke. Something that we have learned through our senses, something that we do with our mind, something that we do without Christ recognition. So it divides up into good and bad, sick and well, all kinds of opposites. And here, there, one here, another there, becomes aware that there is no opposite. That's the healing. Now, when we say we live in a world of miracles, we are hardly beginning to say it, because the miracles are the recognition of Christ wherever you are. And whatever miracle appears is a Christ miracle. I may be speaking to someone whose family has got a problem, but I'm saying to that someone, they only have their belief in a problem. It's real to them. I mean, they're either broke and can't pay the rent, or Uncle John has got to go to the doctor, or something. There's a problem in their mind, and it'll stay there. But you must know that the problem is the absence of the awareness that the Spirit of God is the only life in that family. That's the true life of the family. And the family living next door has the same life. So when you begin to accept the omnipresence, there are no exceptions. It's not in this house it's omnipresent, and in that house it isn't. Each is as perfect as God. And so when you try the healing work, what are you doing actually? You're looking at the Christ, and your eyes, your human eyes, do not see the Christ, and you either believe your eyes or you know what you feel in your inner self. We are elated when the person recovers from our work, but truth is no miracle. Truth is. Each one of us who aspires to that healing work should become deeply mired in the truth that every person I heal is the Christ, and I'm merely recognizing it. And that recognition will be contrary to everything you see and feel at first, because you haven't accepted it in yourself. And when you first accept it as Christ where I am, you will see why Christ where you are is automatic. It's difficult to accept yourself as Christ, because even though you may even believe it, you believe you're invisibly perfect, but it doesn't become visible. You believe you have the Christ mind, but you don't find a way to use that Christ mind. You've got this other mind, this human mind. So you work with that. And every chance you get that you're told something negative, you say, that's what the human mind believes. What about the Christ mind that I have? What does it believe? What does my Christ mind decide about Iraq? What does my Christ mind decide about the level of inflation, the deflated currency? What does my Christ mind see about these physical ailments. Let's go through the Bible for a minute. Let's look at what the Christ mind did there. Because that's what we're showing you. Here's what the Christ mind believes and knows and demonstrates about physical ailments, which everybody thinks is out here. The nobleman's son was dying. Why would a Christ mind, who never had seen the nobleman's son, who didn't even go into his presence, cause a state of recovery? Let's go through that. Let's see how it was working. Let's see how close we can come to it. The nobleman said, "My son is ailing." And then it was Jesus, who was the Christ and knew himself to be the Christ of the Son, because the Christ is a universal being and Christ knows it to be so. Well, if he says, "My son is ailing," he's saying Christ is ailing, because I don't have a son. Christ is that reality. And the Son doesn't know it either, but I am that one, and I am this one. I am everyone. But you are Christ, so you are everyone. And when you know you're Christ, and someone says that person is sick, and you say to yourself, "Well, he doesn't know I'm that one." And that Christ shows forth as well. That Christ and you are two in my name. The Christ of you and the Christ of you in the other self, which thinks it's a person, are the two in my name. And when the two in my name agree, have the same realization, there's the healing. And so when you heal somebody, you're going to go about it the way beginners do. They work hard and they do these things. They do everything they're supposed to do, and it takes time. But in time, they learn that they went about it the wrong way, and they did what a beginner should do. But now I have come through that process, and I know the Christ of that person is me. I am the Christ. And everyone who comes to me for help is the Christ. Truly is. But they are the Christ unbeknown to themselves. And so recognition of them as the Christ and myself as the Christ should produce the healing. If there is something in the consciousness that isn't accepting part of your inner declaration or hasn't the capacity to accept it, then that will be delayed as a healing. But if the lines are clear, there are two in my name, always present in every healing. The patient is Christ. The patient is never human. The patient never has a busted leg or a broken vocal cord or anything that we think on the human scene that the patient has. That's not what the patient has. The patient has the appearance of. And now you see why the Bible says, "Judge not after appearances." Because any appearance that you judge isn't there. It's there to the human sight, which is an aberration. The human sight always sees what it thinks is there. It can look at perfection and think it's there. The human sight never saw Jesus in his true self. That's why when Pilate said, "Which one shall I crucify?" "Crucify Jesus." Could they say crucify Jesus if they could see what was there? And that's typical of us. We never see what is there We always see what we think is there. And that's the difference between the image and the reality. We look at the image in our mind and we think it's an external reality. And it's hard to learn. It's terrible to have to learn it, but it's a release and it's your salvation to learn that what you look at, either good or bad, is not there. When you're looking at everything as an image in your mind. You think you're looking out there and you're seeing what's out there, but you're not. Because everything you're seeing is an image in your mind. And that's a hard thing to grasp, hard thing to accept. But all that's out there is the invisible Christ. That's the first step in learning the truth. The Christ is everywhere I look, and I can't see the Christ, but my soul can accept it. So we'll be still with this. We'll learn to rest in the knowledge that the invisible Christ is the entire world population.